Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Podcast could take many directions. I had like a non-football thing I wanted to start with, and then the Buffalo Bills decided to go buck wild. But about an hour ago, it was actually announced through Mike Florio. I've broken a lot of his stories on here lately that Good Morning Football is going off the air as of the end of the month.
Yep.
It's very unfortunate about an 8-year run, but I feel like once the OG cast left, it hasn't been the same. Pretty much once Kay left, it kind of like, and even Nate too, it hasn't been the exact same show, but at the same time too, it sucks because it's a good show that's fun and entertaining and just like, look, educates people on football.
Yeah, I think, by the way, hello everybody. Glad to be back. Good Morning Football, it's been a staple for me since college, really. I'd get up in the morning and throw it on my way to class, or like if I slept in or whatever, because I didn't have class, go ahead and throw it on the laptop and, just chill. College was prime football watching time for me. Like, oh my Lord, like I'll never watch that much football again. It straight up used to be, I'd get up on Sundays and I would not move. Like for like 8 hours or like, or okay, let's a little bit of an exaggeration, but I wouldn't move more than like 30 feet in 8 hours. I'm just sitting there, just everybody could find me posted up in the kitchen of the house we were renting watching football. But I mean, it's like Good Morning Football is going to come back apparently as a West Coast show. I want to say, so it's going to move out to the West Coast and they're going to reimagine it. I'm curious to see what they end up doing with it.
And making a lot of people have to be at work for 3 o'clock in the morning, because apparently that was the big thing with it. Instead of just saying, hey, we're going to condense it from 3 to 2 hours and keep it on the East Coast, we're going to move it to LA, make all these poor people behind the scenes, which I say them because those are the heart, that's the true heartbeats of the show. Have them just work in hours where you're non-existent in the world. But yeah, but by the way, folks, Kyrie Thompson is always a fan favorite here on the show. Was supposed to be here on Sunday, but I got pulled into dad duty. So one day we'll get him with McGarvin and Sophie. Don't worry. But yeah, just like I said, because you get, like, even with the new cast, you still get that like sense of like everything. Like, Jason McCourty's really gone to his role well. Jamie Erdahl's kind of held the fort down. And then Traeger and Brandt, both of them know their stuff. So it's just like they know their stuff and they can bring that, like, kind of let their guard down and kind of like, not be as buttoned up as you see a lot of reporters and football people are.
Yeah, I think, the loss of Kay Adams, fan favorite, it's interesting because I think sometimes, and it's not to say that any of the hosts that they've had since then, haven't, done the job. It's like everybody's a professional. They do their jobs well. I think there's chemistry. Mm-hmm. And I think when you hit that just right, sometimes it's difficult to explain exactly what it is and why it works. It's funny. One time I was interviewing Devin McCourty, actually. Mm-hmm. I was filling in on a Monday show post-Patriots game. And I'm interviewing Devin while Jason's on TV. And on Good Morning Football, because I was doing the morning show that day. And so I was just like, hey, Devin, like, when you get a chance, go ahead and flip on, NFL Network right now, because Jason's wearing a Grinch suit right now. It was Halloween. It was around Halloween. I was like, dude, he's rocking the Grinch suit right now. And he was just like, oh, no way. So just like in the middle of this interview, Devin's just like, hold up, let me pull this up. And it's like, oh yeah, no, he's really rocking that. And it's like I think it's a fun football show. It is. It's a fun, chill football show that I think is, you know, doesn't take itself too seriously, obviously. Kyle Brandt's just on there doing his thing. Angry Run Scepter and all that good stuff. But at the same time, it also feels like, you know, an intelligent enough football show. Like, it's not just a total hot take machine. So, I mean, hopefully there's a new formula for it, a new way to make it work. And while you're talking about morning shows, so I used to work for WBUR's Morning Edition. Now, I was lucky enough. I was the field producer for that show, so I didn't have to get up at the inhuman hours. But everybody else that I interacted with was working the inhuman hours. And so I would be the lone person working whatever it was, 8 to 4, 9 to 5. And so I'd be like, you know, messaging people like, hey, I booked this interview for tomorrow, or hey, I booked this for, you know, next week. They were all passed out, you know, by like 1 p.m. And they're getting up at like 5 or 6. Oh, let me check some stuff for the next day and then go back to sleep for the next day because I got to get back up. It's just, I don't understand how people survive doing that. Like, if there's one thing that I think would benefit everybody from AI, let the robots do the morning show. Like, let them handle that, and we can do all the other stuff.
Yeah, you know, they're capable of waking up early. They don't have any emotion, but I feel like people in that situation, you do it for the first little while, and then you just kind of, like, you get used to it. It's like anything. I used to have a job where I had to work, like, 7 to 4 and be the same sort of thing. Like, the first couple weeks or so are kind of painful, but then after that, you kind of get back in a groove or a rhythm. It's honestly harder after you go off, like, from vacation or something like that, and then it's just, like, where you're like, hey, get out of the system, and then you have to get back into the system.
Yeah, I mean, look, the morning host that I used to work for, that dude did that for 27 years, and I'll never understand. I mean, yeah, it was just totally like, after a while, it just becomes practice. But then after a while, he's just back to regular life. It's amazing. It's amazing to eventually get to that point.
Exactly. And even I want to state a point too. I have to say, between the months of September and February, I feel like a lot of the Sundays, usually, so today all 3 rigs on this guy got closed. Most Sundays, I'd say 0 get closed. So I'm in the same boat as you with that. But no, obviously, like, I'll be honest with you, going into the show today, I was like, where are we going to start? Obviously, Good Morning Football thing really took over. But the one thing was, so I was driving back from work, going to the gym. I get to the gym. I follow an NFL Simpsons account, so they just take Simpsons clips and they relate them to the current NFL events. And they show the episode from when Homer was a football coach saying, you're cut, and they show the Buffalo Bills right now. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? And then eventually I just see it, like, player after player after player. And I look at myself and I'm like, the Kansas City Chiefs really are a menace in the sense that they basically made people, like, it's just insane how they basically took Buffalo now to the point of, hey, all these, it's because it's not just that it's like leaders or it's like important guys, it's fan favorites too, that Buffalo had to go, hey, like, you gotta go. Like, Josh Allen's gonna get back from Paris and be like, where is everyone? It's gonna be like Will Smith and the
Will Smith meme.
Yeah, just looking around. But I think this is realities of the NFL.
It is, and this is what makes it so interesting and why dynasties like the Patriots and the Chiefs, or even, look, I grew up with the Chicago Bulls in the basketball sense, right? You can do everything right as an organization. Mm-hmm. And you can put a great team together. You can build through the draft. You can sign superstars and develop your stars and all that stuff. And everything can go just right. But if you run into that dude who's repeatedly there, over and over and over again, and he just finds ways to beat you. And that's overly simplistic, because look, football is, you know, we always say it's the ultimate team sport. Patrick Mahomes is not out there playing by himself. Even Michael Jordan basketball is not out there playing by himself. But when you just find that well-oiled machine And then you've got just a, you know, truly transcendent. Look, we talk about transcendent players. Like, people toss around generational a lot, and then you find out that somebody's not actually that.
Yeah.
When you truly run into not necessarily just a generational talent, but that transcendent one that marries the skill with the will, with the iron will to win. It's like teams that did everything right and were great and would have won in any other era dash themselves against the rocks, and you got to start all over again. Now, with the in the Bills case, they've got Josh Allen, who's a top five, probably top three quarterback in the league. So cool. You can afford to do that a little bit, where you can kind of retool and just get a bunch of guys. And Josh Allen will eventually get you where you need to go, as long as you support him enough. But that is the reality of it, is when you miss the window, and the Bills missed the window, now you've got to build it back up again, and you've got to do it with a quarterback who's getting paid a ton. And that, and again, like, you could talk about process all you want and put yourself in position to win multiple Super Bowls. That's not a thing that happens.
Nope.
Like, you're lucky to get one. You're lucky to appear in one Super Bowl during a window, right? It takes the Patrick Mahomeses and the Tom Brady's to do that more than once. Or, you know, the Eli Mannings, where you go ahead and you have two excellent defenses and a guy that just comes alive in the postseason or something like that. It's great to think of yourself as like, oh yeah, we're going to go to more. Aaron Rodgers is probably one of the five most talented quarterbacks that has ever played football, ever set foot on a football field. Only got to one Super Bowl and tripped up however many times because the rest of the operation wasn't working. It's like, you can never count on that stuff. Okay. So there's a part of it where it's like, look, if you feel like you got a window, take it.
You know, Drew Brees is the exact same thing too. The best example I want to give of that, even though they did get to a second, is the Seattle Seahawks. Because obviously, look, they went in 2013. 2014, look, doesn't go their way, but I'm not complaining about it. But at the same time too, they can always say, you know what, we'll regroup, we'll refocus, we'll get back there. They've been back to a conference championship, and that's 10 years ago now that we're going into with that. So it just shows how hard it is to win this league. Like I said too, Drew Brees only went to one. Eli Manning obviously went to two. Ben only got two. Guys like Phillip Rivers only went to none. So it's
Phil Rivers never made it to a Super Bowl, and he should. He's got a Hall of Fame.
Couldn't beat Tom.
Got a Hall of Fame case.
Yeah, that's because that's the thing. Like, you're going to see a lot of these guys. Like, I saw something today where, and we'll get to the draft stuff later, but like Skip Bayless saying, and everyone else saying this too, whether it's like, there's only one hand who takes down Mahomes. They're showing Joe Burrow. And at the same time, too, I'm going, this just shows the aura of Patrick Mahomes and how good he is. The fact that his worst year was losing an AFC championship game. Think about that. Through the first six years of your career, your worst case scenario is, hey, we're going to get to championship Sunday and lose this game.
Yeah. And I mean, that was a game that, like, I don't know what it was about that game that they lost to the Bengals. And of course, it creates this legend of Joe Burrow's the only man who can take down Patrick Mahomes and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, listen, let's not go here. And I think that ultimately you could say that if the Kansas City Chiefs had just taken the points at the end of the first half in that game, instead of trying to go for the throat and get that touchdown and then you get stopped, they'd just taken the points, then they might have gone – this might have been an uninterrupted thing of Super Bowls.
That's just the crazy part about it all. Like, even my most impressive stat that I've seen, I think it was from like 2003 onward until I think 2018, that it was either one of Tom, Ben, or Peyton Manning to appear in a Super Bowl for the AFC every single year. So that just shows like how, because that's even the other thing too. Ben only got two. I know he went to three, but at the same time too, you think of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and well, we don't know who's going to be leading them next year. But that segues into next season too, where I was saying this to myself the other day. If I were to look at it right now, even though this is the last episode before free agency, we don't know what's going to happen next week. I think there's only two teams right now I can look at in the NFC and confidently say they're a true Super Bowl contender. I think that's I don't want to put it lightly. It's just there's some teams where I'm like, they got to earn trust back to take shape. And that's what's going to create for a lot of parity and fun and excitement. But one of the teams that's going to be fun and exciting is your Chicago Bears. Look, they're in a very fun situation. There's money to spend. There was the trade to get Ryan Bates from the Bills, which it seems like the Bears and the Bills love to trade with each other. Now, but like, just
they really
go
do,
back
yeah.
and forth.
What? Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, the Bears make a trade for Ryan Bates
for a fifth. But with Chicago, ultimately, like, I don't want to ask you, like, oh, is it good? Like, is this Justin Stargo? Because we all know he's probably going to go. How do you look at this team for next year when it comes to expectations at this point? Is it playoffs, or is it just like you want to see competitiveness throughout the course of the season?
My take is that at this point, with what they have been building, the kind of players that they have in place, this should be a playoff team, regardless of who's at quarterback. I will give a little bit of grace if it's Caleb Williams or a rookie, a little bit of grace. Because being a rookie quarterback is tough. I mean, even though the Chicago Bears are likely going to be in a better position, you're going to have a better situation for a number one overall pick than pretty much anybody ever. Because you don't normally have a situation where a team that, you know, won seven games or, you know, what have you, gets the number one overall pick because they got it through somebody else. And they were actually playing good football at the end of the year. Their arrow was pointing up. So you don't see that kind of thing. Like, usually a Caleb Williams is going to just an awful team, just a completely just bereft organization. But the Bears have an opportunity to give him something much better than he was ever going to have. Now, I will give that a little bit of grace just because Caleb Williams, assuming that is going to be the pick, he has his issues still with you know, fumbles, with ball security, holding the ball too long. Like, those things don't typically get better in the NFL. If you hold the ball for a long time in college, you're probably going to hold the ball for a long time in the NFL. Probably even longer than you held it in college. Yeah. That said, you know, he's talented, and if he's as good as everybody says he is, then the Chicago Bears should be able to win football games. So I think that while I won't think the sky is falling, while I think a lot of Bears fans will say, like, you know, that proves that you should have kept Justin Fields or whatever. I think if the Bears win seven or eight games with a rookie quarterback, and he's looking like he's on the way up by the end of the year, then it's like, okay, well, that's fine. That's fine. And then the next year after that, it better be like, yeah, you're making a deep playoff run, because that's usually how this timeline works. And because he's in that accelerated situation, you expect the results faster.
Yeah. So, I was just going to say too, my only thing is I feel like, and it's the national media, not like NFL Network. There's another show that airs in the mornings on a four-letter network. That's just, I will say this proudly, that is a hot take machine. You're going to get, like, all these, like, people saying that, like, you know, where it's like, oh, you know, the Chicago Bears going to make the, like, got to make the playoffs. You know, they got to win, like, they got to go, like, 11-6. They got to do this. They got to go out there and beat these teams. Like, I just don't want to, I'm not trying to pump the brakes or disappoint. I just think that with the rookie quarterback situation, and especially last year's Stroud, I feel like a lot of people expect now everyone to have that Houston rise. Like, yeah, you know, like a team like even like New England too, people are going to be like, oh, if they get their quarterback, oh, they're going to rise up. Where with New England, I honestly think they can have a season like what the Chicago Bears had last year, where there's September's an ugly month. October, it's, hey, they might be figuring a couple things out. And then by November or December is when they fully hit the gas, to where the following season you look at it as, hey,
yeah,
there might be something there. So with these teams, like, and Washington, I'm going to exclude for obvious reasons, just because I don't think that's a long-term process. But when you see the teams like New England, when you see the teams like Chicago, I'm even going to throw the New York Giants in there just because we don't know what they're going to be doing at quarterback. That's just a mess of an organization right now. even teams too now, like Denver, Minnesota, they get a rookie quarterback, everyone's going to expect them to go, especially in a place like Denver where, and I've said this, that they sold their soul to go get a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning, and now they've been mediocre ever since. You just have heightened expectations to win, and when heightened expectations come into play, it's not exactly your friend. A lot of the times, it can cost jobs, but meanwhile, with a team like a Chicago, I don't have that in the sense of where, hey, they're going to be a competitive football team. Hell, the NFC North is probably one of the most competitive divisions in all of football going into next year, assuming Minnesota gets it right at quarterback. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. But the one main thing from college, though, that Caleb will have in the NFL is a defense that's not going to allow 50 points a game like yes. USC did. USC yes. had a putrid defense last year.
Yes, yes. And that is absolutely something you've got to mention in the Caleb Williams context.
Yeah.
I will say that there's probably a point where it becomes a crutch that people use in his evaluation, where it's yeah. like, oh, well, it's just like Mahomes in college, where he felt like he had to chase, you know, so many points. And it's like, well, I mean, you still got to play the position the way you're supposed to play it, you know? Yeah. And mistakes are mistakes. So let's be on that. But at the same time, it's like, yeah. I mean, it wasn't even just the defense either. USC's defense was just completely leaky, just in every aspect. The offensive line wasn't that good. The skill players were okay as well. Not great, but they were okay. So it's like, it wasn't like he was being counted on to really elevate that entire operation. And sometimes he would devolve into hero ball. I'll also say that it felt at times like, when Caleb started pressing, that the rest of the team would also start making mistakes.
Yeah.
Like you would see Caleb kind of running around playing hero ball and he'd fumble, or, you know, his throws would start getting a little errant. And then the next thing you know, like Marshawn Lloyd would be fumbling and giving the ball back. And it's like, look, okay, like Caleb didn't fumble the ball there, but it's like, you wonder about, and this is something that he admitted, he'd never gone through adversity like that before, where all of a sudden you lose your last five games and everybody's looking at you like, what the hell, Caleb? You yeah. know, I thought you were supposed to be, you know, the greatest college, you know, quarterback of all time. And then you're getting the stones kind of thrown at you and people are calling your leadership into question. Like, why aren't you keeping the ship together? And that's a lot to put on one player, and it's not entirely fair, but it's the quarterback position. And in Chicago, look, man, if you thought you thought that was going to be an issue at USC in college or whatever, in Chicago, they are going to be all up in you if your body language is just a little bit off, or, oh, you hit a little bit of a losing streak. And then your face is plastered on every TV across the nation because everybody thought you were supposed to be the savior. That's the kind of thing that's happening to Justin Fields. And obviously he very well could get replaced, but Justin Fields by and large has kind of handled it with, you know, kind of a steadiness that I'm curious if Caleb has the same thing, because inevitably hard times are going to come.
The weird thing with the Justin Fields thing is that video of him in his kitchen screaming Atlanta when everyone realized, like, hey, that was filmed 6 years ago, and that has nothing to do with what's going on now. The big thing, too, with Caleb as well is if there's the first couple games don't go their way, and, you know, I know Chicago's a market where, look, the radio stations will rip you apart. I believe it's ESPN 1000 and the Score 670. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but those, I think, are the two big radio stations out there.
They are indeed. Grew up listening to them.
Yeah. So when you have like the people on there just completely going in on you, that's how you have to respond. It's not like what you get with Boston, because I know, look, I'm from Toronto, but I know Boston sports radio is, let's just say there's a few characters there. But with Chicago, though, too, even the fact like, hey, you're going to be plastered on a billboard on Michigan Avenue. You're going to be a catalyst for, and I want to ask you about this because it's always encouraged me, into a new stadium. Because I've said this with Buffalo, where if the team didn't have Josh Allen and they were still mediocre, the new stadium wouldn't be as exciting. Meanwhile, they have a franchise quarterback and they're going into this state-of-the-art stadium. So we'll see what happens there with Chicago. It's a very interesting time and it's a very interesting team just because, like you said, it's that effect of you're the quarterback, but also you're going into this great situation. The coaches are there where, look, I still think if they don't make the playoffs, Eberflus is gone. But
yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. But it's just, it's going to come down to whatever they can do on the field. That's the thing. What does Shane Waldron's offense look like? Who's even there for the offensive weapons? Because we know DJ Moore's wide receiver. I would lean towards Mooney's probably gone just because I feel like we haven't heard much.
Yeah, I think that well is kind of poisoned.
Yeah.
You know, he turned down an extension to bet on himself, or at least reportedly turned down an extension to bet on himself before the season. And, you know, from some of the things I've heard, he was very dissatisfied with Luke Getsy's offense, the way that he was used. That was a kind of point of contention behind the scenes from like just whispers and things that I had heard. So yeah, no, I think that's kind of done. The weapons part is probably going to come through the draft. It could come as early as pick number 9 or whatever it is that second first round pick is going to be for the Bears, because look, you used number 1 on Caleb Williams, you got another top 10 pick. But if you feel like wide receivers are kind of flying off the board, you know, you never know, you could package pick number 9 with Justin Fields or, you know, something else. If you've already traded Justin Fields, we'll see. I mean, it could well be, you know, this whole thing where Justin Fields is still on the roster right now. It could well be that, you know, you could hold on to him until the draft. And obviously that would suck for him. Like, you would rather have him have clarity before that. But there's this possibility that you could hold him until then, package pick number 9, move up, and then grab, you know, Roma Dunze, or something like that. Because I think Roma Dunze is totally going to be a guy that the Chicago Bears are going to fall in love with, both skill-wise and personality-wise. When it comes to the, you know, free agency, I don't really know that there's going to be a whole lot free agency-wise that's going to move the needle for the Chicago Bears. Because again, like, most of the weapons that are going to be out there, most of the real difference makers are getting franchise tagged or they're getting extended. So then it's like, okay, maybe Calvin Ridley hits the market. Okay, Calvin Ridley's good, but is he, you know, like a number one? No. Now the thing is, it's like, you got your number one in DJ Moore, so now you just got to figure out how to complement that, which again is a situation that the Chicago Bears can provide Caleb Williams, you know, say, you know, in this case, that Justin Fields didn't have. Everybody's like, oh, they finally got him DJ Moore last year. Yeah, they got him. They had him DJ Moore and Cole Kmet. Cool. Everybody else was bad. And that's like been the case for far too long. But now you could have a situation where you got DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, and like Roma Dunze. And that's different. Like that could be a lot different. I'm really curious to see how free agency goes with that team, because I mean, they're going to have to tell these free agents something.
Yeah.
They're going to have, I imagine, especially on offense, even defense, like defensive players ask this kind of thing, especially when it comes to, veterans.
Yeah.
So if Danielle Hunter meets with the Chicago Bears and is talking about contract, Calais Campbell did this with the Falcons last year. And Calais Campbell was straight up like, look, man, I'm not feeling Desmond Ridder. Like, according to reports, like Terry Fontenot actually said this, like Atlanta's GM. He's like, yeah, Calais Campbell wasn't feeling it. But like they convinced him, they sold him on look, just join this team and we're gonna be good and we're gonna have a shot. So I feel like, look, this is what they're gonna want to know. They're gonna want to know what the quarterback situation is. Doug, are we taking Caleb, or are we sticking with Fields? You know, I've seen Fields. I know he's good. You know, it's like I hear a lot of good things about him. We keeping him or what? They're gonna have to let these guys know something, you know. And I guess we'll find out a bit, maybe through some leaks or, you know, what have you, what they're kind of saying, what direction it is, because it certainly sounds like everything is pointing in one direction. It's also lying season, so
yeah.
You know, you can never be 1,000% sure of anything. But it's just, as you said before, it's just such an interesting time for that team in particular, because either way, they should definitely be better than they were last year. if you're taking Caleb Williams, you're saying that guy is going to lead you to a Super Bowl. You're going to win a title with him. That's how I see it. And the other part that is interesting in this, and I was talking about this with someone the other day. I'm going to be real curious to see if Caleb Williams really is that dude. What's going to happen around contract extension time? Because the Chicago Bears are not an ownership. They do not have an ownership group with a lot of liquid cash. Yeah. So this stadium deal, they're trying to figure some stuff out and own their own land, get a stadium and become a little bit more self-sufficient, because you kind of hear things like the Chicago Bears don't have the money to be guaranteeing a quarterback $180 million or whatever over 5 years.
Yeah.
And if Caleb Williams and his group especially are everything we've been hearing that they kind of are, Pops. And they drive the kind of, and Carl Williams is driving the hard bargain. We hear he's been driving behind the scenes. I don't know, man. That's going to be really interesting.
The one thing too, because I was actually explaining this to my fiance the day, because we were going over NFL ownership, and I was explaining to her how that it's Virginia McCaskey. She's 99, and that when unfortunately when her time to go, they're going to have to sell the team. This is like them and the Raiders are like the worst kept secrets with that, because we all know it's mom and
also,
pop shop.
Also, you're underselling Virginia, man. She's 101, bro.
Ooh, 101. My apologies. But yeah, so like when she goes, we know that George is going to have to sell the team. We know that already. The Arlington Heights thing is weird, because I know too, I even saw something today where the White Sox want a new stadium as well. So it's this whole interesting dynamic with Chicago and arenas and stadiums right now. But with the Bears as a whole, I'm going to say something, because I remember this contract came out last summer. I did not like it. Cole Kmet's worth the deal that he signed. I thought at first I was just like, what has he done? His first 3 years in the league weren't anything like, to glance at. But now, like, I'm not here saying he's like a top three tight end in the league, but like he's easily like within the top half.
He's a top 10 tight end.
Yeah.
Like
I just don't want to say it right away in case he didn't agree with me.
Yeah, and that's not even saying, like, when you say somebody is like a top 10 tight end, it's like the top of the list is Kelce, Kittle, that kind of thing. And then there's drop off, after that. But like, Cole Kmet caught a lot of flack, right, for not scoring a lot of touchdowns and not making some of the contested catches and not being the most explosive guy, sort of in the world. But what he showed this past year is that he is a complete tight end,
yes.
And he can be very friendly to a quarterback, especially against zone defense. That's one thing that Cole Kmet's great at. He's not great at separating against man, but he can figure out how to find himself some room against zone. And he started to figure out how to also just be big, just be 6'6", Cole, just stand there and put the hands out there and let it get into your body. You're too damn big. So yeah, I think that contract has been worth it. Others have been a little bit more like, I don't know. But I'll tell you one move that's aged pretty well is trading that second round pick for Montez Sweat.
Oh my
and
God.
Paying him up. A lot of people hated on that move at the time. And the moment he showed up, the Bears defense was acting different.
Yes. That's the thing. They finally got a pass rush in Chicago. The other thing too, even with Chicago as well, is Jalen Johnson coming out party. Hitting on picks like Tyreek Stevenson.
Yeah.
Very, very good in the defensive backfield. And then even to making moves like, I know Eddie Jackson was one of them who, I will say this right now, I wouldn't be totally mad if New England took a flyer on him. But I believe there was him and someone else that was cut for cap reasons in Chicago. A longtime player. I'm blanking on his name right now. But the fact that they're making these moves, it's kind of showing, it's like giving the fans something to hope for, because I know Chicago pretty much for the last, 10 years has been very bleak in the Windy City. Like, Chicago fans haven't had anything to like clamor onto, because we know, like, look, there's the Blackhawks, there's the Cubs had their moment in the sun, the Blackhawks had their dynasty, the Bulls, look, it hasn't been the same since Jordan, and then the White Sox, well, they're the White Sox. But I know that the heartbeat of that town truly is on Lakeshore right next to the museum. I've been to the stadium before. And if you can get the fan base to buy in, it's just adding layers to everything. So it's a very exciting time ahead. But here's the other thing too with free agency, and I love this, how I love the legal tampering window. Because, you know, it's Monday at noon. Oh, you could talk to everyone when everyone deep down knows. These conversations started last week at St. Elmo's in Indianapolis. So, like, all the it's basically like all the insiders are ready with their tweets where it's just like, yeah, boom, sign, boom, boom. This is getting done. This is getting done. This is getting done. This is getting done. I want to flip things to New England for a second just because I've had a friend of mine who's also a Pats fan up here asked me about a couple players, and he was like saying, oh, it's disappointing we lost out on Mike Evans, which it is and it isn't, because look, I'm 30, he's the same age as me. I wasn't prepared to give Mike Evans $50 million over the next couple seasons. I know the numbers are fabricated, but, and I'll say this too, he's one of the most underrated players in the league just because of not only what he's done, but who he's done it with. Considering he only had, besides the 3 years of Tom, like, putting up 1,000 yards with pretty, like, you know, average quarterback, like average quarterbacks for like NFL standards is something to look at. But at the same time, too, for then him to come get that money, come to New England, and everyone thinking right away, oh, hey, you're just going to blossom, you're going to do this. That doesn't work like that. And then Calvin Ridley, too, he's like, Calvin Ridley is underrated. I'm like, same thing as you. Excuse me. I'm like, Calvin Ridley's good, but he's not a one. Don't come in here expecting Calvin Ridley to go up there and, you know, put up like crazy numbers. So that's just the one point I wanted to get out. And I'm honestly ready for this for a lot of fans of these teams with money, considering, look, there's two people right here. Bears have money. Patriots have money.
Commanders Washington, have money too.
Commanders, the Titans. The one, but there's two teams out there that are on the cusp right now that have money. And it's something I don't think a lot of people have talked about. That's the Bengals and the Colts. And those are teams looking to make those elite. Well, I'll say this. The Bengals are like, look, they'll just get everything figured out back into it, but that money will get taken away because a certain wide receiver is owed a Brinks truck. Just saying. But it's going to be – I don't want to get my hopes up, but I also want to get fans' hopes up because I feel like a lot of people in the Patriots community think that this is going to be 2021 again when clearly it's just not. It's not going to be, hey, you go out and buy everything. No, it's going to be spend your money here because you have a lot of home goods you got to pay too, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think this is a transitional period for this organization. They've got a lot of stuff to figure out. The difference with Bill Belichick, it was perhaps a different kind of urgency, and it was just a different kind of situation entirely, where at that point the salary cap was a little lower than expected. It was coming off of a COVID year when a lot of people were clutching the purse strings tight. And the Patriots just happened to have the most cap space in the league because they fielded like a JV roster in 2020. And so they had a lot of money to spend, and a lot of other teams were a little bit less, they were a little bit more, reticent, or a little bit less willing to do so. And so then Bill doing the thing where he zigs where everyone else zags is like, okay, you're not spending the money, then I'm buying everyone.
And right? Guaranteeing it all.
Yeah. And so that was just one of those deals where Belichick is like, let me outfox you and, take advantage of a market inefficiency here. And I mean, it resulted in three more wins in the next season, but not a whole lot after that. Though, do I think that the money spending was necessarily wrong? No. Not necessarily. No, I think the way that they handled the quarterback position was wrong, and then that trickled down into the team underachieving with all of those high-paid guys. So to me, that was more of the problem than anything else. But again, right? So you're potentially going to take a quarterback. I would think that you probably would if you're New England. So you take a quarterback in this situation, and you do have to give them something. Right. You don't want him going out there with the kind of team that Bryce Young had with Carolina last year, were just completely bereft of any kind of talent, because that's not great for your development either. But to think that, oh, yeah, we're just going to get a rookie and we're going to use all this money to buy up everything, like, this free agency is a trap in a lot of ways, because you get to thinking like, oh, yeah, you're going to spend all of this money. You got to think what kind of players you're spending it on. If you're a team that has a ton of holes, you're not just going to go out and spend crap tons of money, because you want to build through the draft ultimately. And also, those second and third tier free agents, especially now that the salary cap is what it is, it's grown by $30 million. They're going to want even more money. And at some point you've got to look at the value of the contract that you're paying out and think about whether or not that's a good idea. So no, you can't, you're not just going to make a perfect team for a rookie quarterback to come into in the first year. And that's okay. It frustrates me because people seem to think that the only way to do this properly is to have a quarterback plopped into just an A-plus situation. Otherwise, it's a complete waste of time. Build up the rest of the team before you get the quarterback. And you know what that ends up getting you is you can build up the entire team, and then you're taking a quarterback just to take one in a class that's not that good, and then your quarterback's not that good, and you waste the team. Okay? So yes, get the quarterback that you feel strongly about that can elevate the team. You know, and now I do want to say this, because you want, especially early on, your team to be able to elevate your quarterback to an extent and take the pressure off of them, so that when it is time for them to elevate, like Tom Brady in those first couple of years, he was not tasked with carrying the team. He was tasked with not screwing up and riding the wave, not doing too much. And then when it was time to do that 1 minute drive at the end of the Super Bowl, and they were just like, hey, look, we're going to go for it. It's like, okay, we've built you up for success the entire year for this moment. Let's see what you got. So I think that it's got to be a little bit of both, but this idea that you can't draft a quarterback until everything else is figured out is ridiculous. Like, it's great if it ends up that way. It's great if you end up with, like, okay, the roster is wonderful, and then, okay, I guess let's go ahead and trade up for Trey Lance because he's the last piece, or you know, we'll take a flyer on Brock Purdy and see how that goes. Or if you're that kind of team and you say, okay, let me go ahead and splurge on this one free agent and that'll be okay. Like the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, let's go ahead and spend a crap ton of money on Juwan Taylor, who's not necessarily that good, but we just want it.
Yeah. So do you remember NBA free agency in 2016?
Vaguely.
The one where it was very big and a lot of guys, like I looked it up while you were talking just because I wanted to see. But guys like Timofey Mozgov got a four-year deal from the Los Angeles Lakers. There's a lot of obscure contracts were handed out that year, and I feel like you're going to get a lot of teams handing out obscure contracts. And I feel like New England, look, if they do like one or two, like it is what it is, where they age poorly. It's not every – it's like every draft pick. Not every draft pick is going to pan out. Not every free agency is going to age well. If you look at the Patriots 2021 class, there's a very good chance that one of them's already gone. And you know, that's where it goes. So it's going to be a very, very interesting period in time. And you know what? We'll have to wait and see where it goes, but we'll get into that more next week. Hopefully you can return sometime soon, Kyrie. I know it's been fun getting to talk today, guys. The last YWC football talk before free agency. Is there anything else you want to add before we head out, or just is what it is?
Next week could be potentially really fun. I really hope that we get some clarity on the Chicago Bears quarterback thing, because it is going to be an absolute disaster to me. Just like in my personal life, it is going to be a disaster if they don't make a trade next week and we've got to deal with this all the way through the draft. Oh my God. No, please God, no. Trade the man or trade the pick. Do something.
I feel like your rivals upstate Minnesota, we're going to, once that domino falls, that's when everything comes down. Once the Kirk Cousins stuff gets decided, then the entire thing's going to fall down. With the other free agents, so we'll wait and see what happens. But anyway, guys, that's going to wrap it up here for episode 286. See you guys next week when, you know what, hey, free agency, all that fun stuff really gets underway. Have a good night, everyone.
Do, did, will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, saythedamnscore.com.